Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. Let's jump right in. So, how's everybody feeling on this Sunday evening? So we just had, you know, the presidential election along with senatorial races. And I guess the blue wave that everybody was talking about didn't happen. But also you got to keep in mind, too, everybody keeps talking about, oh, this blue wave, it never happened, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But, you know, the red wave was talking, the Republicans was also talking about a red wave. I never bought into that. I never bought into the fact that all of a sudden the Democrats was going to just sweep everything. I think we've officially moved in a direction in this country that the voter, have lost faith. You have lost trust in giving all the power to one political party, you know? So the years passed, you know, the Republicans would have the presidency, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. Nothing got done. Then the Democrats would have the presidency, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. Some stuff would get done. Not much. So now we have come to that conclusion where I'm willing to let one of the political parties, depending on their delivery, their narrative, to have two of the three majorities, but not all three, because both have shown that they don't know what the hell they're doing and they can't move the country forward. You know, 2000, President Obama, the 2010 election, midterms. And, you know, when he first took office in 2008, 2009, the Democrats had the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Didn't do much. Not because he didn't try, but they just couldn't. And then the Republicans got the House and then the Senate. They didn't have the presidency because Obama was there. And although Obama got a lot done, it was so much more could have been done if the Republicans were willing to work with Obama. And it just wasn't. And it didn't happen. So I think that's where we're moving in the direction in this country. But, you know, the big story is that Biden and Harris are the president and vice president-elect. Trump has been defeated. But here's the thing. Now that we have a new president and a vice president, we must now actively and knowledgeably engage in our government, you and me. We have to engage in how this works. I was talking to my brother Leon Jones earlier today, and I posted something about, you know, we moving as a nation and we need normalcy. And I think a lot of people that voted, you know, that's what they wanted more than anything, was some normalcy after almost 4 years of just craziness and foolishness. You wanted to get back to normalcy. So this is a great day that Biden is now the president-elect. Kamala Harris is now the vice president. First time a woman has ascended to the vice presidency, the office of the vice presidency, and she is of Indian American and Jamaican American, which is just historic. Oh, and she attended an HBCU like yours truly over here. But that's not where it ends. And that's where so many of us messed up with Obama in his first term. That's where we messed up because we said, oh, Obama's the president now. Oh, now all these wonderful things are going to happen. No, that's not how it happened. President Obama, President-elect and Vice President-elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are at the federal level. I've said this as long as the Anthony Johnson show has been on since 2012, is that the president and vice president represents over the, you know, all 320 million Americans. They don't represent Anthony Johnson who lives in North Philadelphia. I'm not the only one. They represent all 320 of us, 320 million, I'm sorry, in this country. So you can't say, and you can't have that attitude that, okay, well, I voted in the presidential election. Okay, I'll see you guys in 4 years. Because then you can't get upset when the things that you want, the things that Joe Biden has said he wants to do, you can't get upset when he can't do it because he doesn't have help. He doesn't have any, he doesn't have enough seats. That comes back to you and I. What does that mean? The same passion, the same drive and determination that you were willing to get out there, stand in lines and do whatever it took to get this man and this woman elected. You have to do the exact thing in your local election. That's right. See, because the mayor, city council, state senators, okay, state reps, they directly affect what we're trying to get done. So then Biden and Harris can say, we have friends at every level. We don't just have the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives. That's not enough. Because what the Republicans have learned is that, no, we're going to have United States senators, but we need, and congressional leaders, but we need that state. We need those governorships. So that's what it comes down to. We got the governor, the mayor, the city council, the state rep, the state senators, the city and state judges. They are the ones that directly affect us, and they are the ones that's going to need, that's needed if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are to get the agenda addressed. So it's okay to take a victory lap. Go ahead, take that victory lap. But ladies and gentlemen, in 2022, it's time to roll your sleeves back up. I had no doubt that Biden was going to win. I knew he was going to win. You know why? Because the voter turnout was huge. The voter turnout was huge. In 2016, the voter turnout was not huge. Period. It was not huge. He had 74 million votes of the popular vote, even more than Obama, in both terms. So you knew he was going to, the Democrats will probably win the presidency. And yes, they lost some seats in the House of Representatives, but they still hold them. They still hold the majority. The Senate gained some seats at the Senate, but now it's tied. It's deadlocked, 48-48. In Atlanta, I'm sorry, Georgia, January. Residents of Georgia, y'all got some work to do because they're doing two runoffs. So for the first time in more than 20 years, you can send two Democratic senators to Washington to help Biden and Harris to get the agenda passed. But we cannot sit around and say, oh, well, I voted in the presidency. Why aren't we getting things done? Did you vote locally? You didn't? Okay, that's why nothing's getting done. So we have to do that. Let's make a promise to one another that from this day right up to May of 2022, when the midterm elections and the mayoral races and the governorships and the city councils and the state reps and the city and state judges, when all that stuff come up in 2022, I'm like, let's make that promise to each other that we're going to have that same drive to go out and vote. Because those parties, those individuals that I just mentioned, they matter. They directly affect us. Biden and Harris are going to need help. They're going to need a whole lot of help, ladies and gentlemen. Because despite his incompetence, despite trusting dictators over America's intelligence, despite his racist bigotry, misogynistic, anti-American rhetoric, despite his woeful handling of the economy and COVID-19, you know, if Trump had done a better job at addressing the pandemic, he would have won re-election. Yeah, he would have won. And I know you're saying, well, Anthony, that's water under the bridge, man. He's out of there. Yeah, he's out of there. And when he leaves the White House before the 20th of January, guess who's still sitting around? Those 70 million Trumpsters. They will continue spewing his hate and his division. You see, America created Trump. And unfortunately, that despicable legacy will continue. He fought hard to keep the presidency because, as I said recently, you know, on social media, I said, why do you guys think he's fighting so hard? It's clear, even he, I mean, he can come out and stand before, you know, the microphones and the cameras and talk about how good of a president he is. But he knew he was terrible. He knew. And he said, well, Anthony, why would he keep fighting? Because what's waiting for him? It ain't like Obama. It ain't like when Bill Clinton left. You know, it ain't like even when George W. Bush left. They wasn't leaving walking into financial ruin. You know, they were not walking out, you know, facing, you know, criminal charges, sexual rape charges, bankruptcy, $470 million debt that you got to pay. They were walking out to million-dollar book deals and all types of goodies. So what we have come to expect when a president is leaving office. Now, Trump, he needed another term to get all that stuff worked out, particularly the $470 million in loans. Now those creditors are going to be like, well, you ain't person anymore. So we need that money. We take check, cash, debit, EBT, doesn't matter. We want that $470 million. Then he got to deal with the IRS. He owes them about $100 million. So that's why he fought so hard. But he's not, he'll be gone out of the White House, but those 70 million people who bought into all that foolishness, they're still going to be there. And get this, right now, there are people that want to be in the White House someday, and they're going to take his playbook. They're going to tighten it up. They're going to be a little more smoother. They're going to start smoothing up the edges. They're going to be supremely more intelligent than this guy is. And they'll be pushing the same rhetoric in 4 years. So what I'm saying, once again, is we have to be on alert. We cannot lay down now and say, oh, well, it's all over, put my feet up and relax. No, because this country just elected also on Tuesday two individuals who support the QAnon, about the Democrats with the child pedophile, eating the children and all that craziness. This country sent two of these individuals that's going to be sitting at the table of our government. You think the Tea Party, those guys were terrible. These QAnon people, they done taken it to the next level. And there was enough people in this country who said, I'm going to send them to Washington to represent me. Now, these same people that elect them are going to be very disappointed when they realize that these guys are actually morons. The hell was we thinking when we sent these guys to Washington? And the Republican Party, those leaders, those so-called leaders, those feckless leaders, they didn't even try to stop it. They didn't say, oh, wait, no, we can't have that. Y'all out of pocket with this. Nah, we can't go with that. Nah, we gotta run somebody against these guys. Hell, run a broomstick against these children because they're not coming up to Washington to do anything other than talk that foolishness. Even a lot of Republicans are like, man, we don't believe in that foolishness. But here we are. Here we are. We have a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts right now. We have to help Biden, Harris, and the Democrats. And let me say this. Biden, when you're sitting down and you're putting together your team, I sure hope you plan on putting progressives in some of those cabinet positions. Because let me be clear, we went out and voted for you. As I have said time and time again, Biden is not a progressive. Obama wasn't a progressive. They say Kamala Harris is a progressive. No, she's not a progressive. They're centered Democrats. We voted for you. Progressives went out en masse and voted for you. So we're expecting to be put in cabinet positions where we can help move this country forward. $15 an hour pay, livable wage, yeah. Eliminating student debt, yeah. Free college education at the two-year institutions in this country like it was before the Vietnam War, yeah. If we can't do the health care for everybody right now, let's put something in place where we can add more people to the Affordable Care Act. Let's make it strong. Oh, did you forget about that, ladies and gentlemen? See, they're going to be next week. They're still arguing about eliminating the Affordable Care Act in its entirety. If we are going to take America in the direction that it needs to go, progressives, Democrats, we got to work together. And let me say this, Republicans, for those of you out there, which is very few, if you want to work, what President-elect and Vice President-elect Biden Harris, then come with intelligence. Leave your party at the door and you come in and represent America. It's like, you know, the 18% of black men in America voted for Trump. A lot of people are shocked. I'm not. That's just the mentality, ladies and gentlemen. For those who don't know, for those who don't know their history, every slave didn't want to be free. I'll just say that and let you marinate and ponder that when the show is over. Every slave did not yearn to be free. And when you see and hear black people who are Republicans say to black people who are loyal Democrats that you guys have a slave mentality. You're on a slave, a plantation of the Democratic Party. Come on over to the Republican Party. I'm sorry, of the Democratic Party. Come on over to the Republican Party and you'll see something, you'll see different. No, you won't. Because what they're asking you to do, ladies and gentlemen, they're asking you to move, to leave one plantation where you get some rights and go to the other plantation where they don't even acknowledge your existence. Donald Trump is a bigot. Donald Trump is a racist, pure and simple. And black and brown people that went out and voted for him didn't care. They didn't care. They simply didn't care. And I don't care about the Lil Wayne's. Even Ice Cube, I love his music, but I don't care about his politics. Because when you go and try to negotiate with a racist, I said this a few weeks ago, you know, you going and trying to negotiate with a racist for them to help black and brown people is like going, it's like the rapist going to the victim and saying, can you testify on my behalf? It made no sense. We have to be better. We cannot lay down and go to sleep now that we have a new president. It's pure and simple. We cannot do it. Because if we do, and in 2022, which you think, oh, well, Anthony, that's 2 years away. Yeah, 2 years come just like this. Just like that. You look up and it's 2022. So our president and our vice president and the Democrats and the progressives in Washington will need our help locally and at the state level. We got to help them. If you want those things that he's been saying, if you want those things that Vice President-elect Harris has been saying, you got to help them. We all got to help. We all got to roll up our sleeves and say, what do we need to do? Hey, I'm running for state rep for the third and final time because I want to help. I may not be in Washington, but in 2022, if I'm elected, I want them to be able to turn to me and say, Anthony, we're trying to get ABC done. Can we depend on your support? Absolutely. Can you whip up the other people to get behind us? Absolutely. Because if we don't, then we're right back to square one. We have work to do. So as I said, take the victory lap. You got out there, you stood in long lines for hours on end. That's something that we all should be fighting for now. That's voter suppression. We should be sitting down, you know, and saying, how do we address these issues about voter suppression during all the elections, particularly the federal position like the president? It should not, we should not be, you know, have to be so difficult. It should not be difficult for us to vote. It should be easy for us to vote. You're supposed to be making it easy, not difficult. And that's what happened here. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, and it's sad for me to say, but we do have a political party in this country that really don't care about this country. They put the party ahead of the country. We haven't heard the last of Donald Trump. Last I heard, he was on his golf course sulking about following all these lawsuits. But Donald Trump has always cried. He's never been a leader. He's never accepted when he makes mistakes. Never. Everything is rigged when it's against him. He said the IRS is against him. You know, he said that the voting system is against him. Every expert, including people from his party, the Republican Party, have said, nope, this is the first time we did mail-in voting at this level in the history of this country. And it was smooth. If you take 150 million, and this happened, you know, about a decade ago, when they talked about, oh, with voter fraud, and they did the number crunches, did, you know, calculated and said, yeah, in 2015 or 2014, 130 million people had voted. And of the 130 million that voted, there was only like 100 to 120 mail-in votes. Out of 130, that was like 0.000012. The 2020 presidential election, everybody who's been involved with the counting, the sorting of the mail-in ballots, all have said, from both sides of the aisle, have said, this was the smoothest that it's ever been. It works. In the face of a pandemic, the last time we did something like this, in the face of trying circumstances, was the Great Depression, Civil War, and now here with the COVID-19. President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris, they have a lot of work to do. But they can't do it alone. They need us. We're needed. We can't sit back and say, it's on y'all now. Y'all can take it from here. No, we gotta help them all the way through. Because we're going to benefit when they succeed. When they are successful, we're going to be successful. They're fighting for what we want. More importantly, they're fighting for what we need. Some of the things that I talked about earlier. I'm excited and happy for this. After World War I, and after the Teapot Dome scandal under President Harding, Calvin Coolidge became president. And he was no brilliant scholar or anything of that magnitude. He was not. But he said something that resonated with America at the time. He said, let us return to normalcy. We sure haven't had that in a long time, have we? We had the great influenza. We had World War I, the great influenza of 1918, the Teapot Dome scandal with Harding. We need some normalcy. And it worked. He, too, was a one-term president. But it worked. He became president because he said, let us return to normalcy. Joe Biden, President-elect, and Vice President-elect Harris, that's what they want. I said, let us return to normalcy. We'll find out, won't we? We have to go with them, follow them, and hold them accountable when they themselves aren't being accountable. Good night.